welcome to the American Academy of Dermatology's podcast series, Dialogues in Dermatology. This episode is certified for CME credit. For credit information, visit learning.aad.org. The information in this CME activity is for continuing education purposes only. It is not intended to establish a standard of care and is not meant to substitute for independent medical judgment of a health provider relative to the diagnostic, management, and treatment options of a specific patient's medical condition.
At the conclusion of this episode, listeners will be able to review scar treatment strategies in darker skin types.
From the American Academy of Dermatology, welcome to Dialogues in Dermatology. I'm Dr. Jules Lipoff, your editor-in-chief. Thanks for tuning in.
Treating scars in darker skin types, Fitzpatrick types 4 through 6, presents unique challenges due to the increased risk of post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, hypertrophic and atrophic scarring, and keloid formation. In this episode of Dialogues in Dermatology, Dr. Alexander Zhang and Dr. Giselle Olvera discuss techniques to treat scars in darker skin types.
Hello and welcome to Dialogues in Dermatology. I'm Dr. Lauren Council, coming from St. Louis, Missouri, and I have the pleasure of speaking today with two dermatologists, Dr. Alex Zhang from Cleveland, Ohio, who is a specialist in dermatologic surgery, and Dr. Giselle Olvera, dermatologist from Brazil, who specializes in burns and scars. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
So the topic of conversation today is the art of healing, scar management strategies tailored to ethnic skin. Can you tell our listeners why is this topic so important?
Yes, well, you know that we face some challenges regarding ethnic skin to treat scars because more and more technology has been used. And there are some tips and tricks to use technology in ethnic skin, especially more pigmented phototypes. So we thought it would be interesting to share with our audience in our session those tricks that we've been using for so long in Brazil, in Mexico, in Colombia, you know, different parts of the world, as well as to have Dr. Zhang join us to tell us a little more on a different phototype, which is the Asian phototype, that is also prone to develop hypertrophic scars and keloids. So you don't want to have an extra scar when you're trying to treat a scar. That's the point of our session.
I think that's very, very important. So often patients will come with very dark skin and acne scars, for example. And I find that particularly challenged because we're somewhat limited with what we can offer. How do you approach a patient with dark skin and acne scarring? What are some of your tips?
I think it is really important to make sure you give a good thorough evaluation first, then a really good consultation, because a lot of times when we evaluate the patient, one patient may actually have multiple different kinds of acne scars. They won't just present with one type. For example, we have three types of atrophic acne scars, such as ice pick scars, boxcar scars, and rolling scars. Nobody just come in with one type of scars. Therefore, it is really important to see what kind of scars the patient present with. Also, what is the Fitzpatrick skin type? And therefore, then you decide we cannot just use one type of way to treat three different types of scars, and what kind of a combination that you would like to use, especially tailored to different skin types. For example, if we're treating skin type 4 to 6, then you have to really keep in mind that you want to minimize the post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. Or what kind of strategies that you would like to have if it actually presents with hypopigmented scars. So those are the little tricks and pearls that we will share in our session.
Exactly. And interesting also about acne scars is that we've been seeing more and more patients that have both keloids, for instance, on their premandibular area combined with atrophic acne scars. So it's really tricky when you are treating a patient with skin of color or with an ethnic skin. And there are some actually things that you can do before your treatment that minimize the risks of hyperinflammatory pigmentation or hyperpigmentation or hyperpigmented scars. And you've got to keep in mind that you don't want extra keloids in that patient too. So how deep can you go when you are microneedling that patient? What type of radio frequency, insulated, non-insulated radio frequency, what can you use to treat that particular type of scars? And I think combining fillers, biostimulators in certain areas also helps a lot in that type of phototype.
So you mentioned a few things. You see the patient first in consultation, and you identify the types of scarring that he or she has. And oftentimes, patients have more than one type. You also assess their skin type, because you are somewhat limited, depending on the skin type, with what options that you have to treat them. So let's kind of break that down a little bit for our listeners. What are our options in hypertrophic scars and keloids in our darkest skin type patients?
Mm-hmm. So I've been treating hypertrophic scars and keloids for more than 20 years. I was lucky enough to have my part of my doctoral studies and part of my PhD in postdoc at Shriners Hospital. I've worked a lot with hypertrophic scars and ethnic skin. As you know, in Texas, where I was, there is this mixed pigmentation phototype with the Hispanic population that went to Texas. So we have been doing an algorithm that is already published, and it's also HAADV consensus of, you know, Brazilian consensus, that uses a lot of dressings to soften the scar before we even start injecting or approaching it with technologies. When you use those dressings for so long, you allow that skin to have a decreased bronzing, because in Brazil, in Mexico, in Latin America, in some countries of Asia, patients have a culture of sun exposure. I usually tell my residents, it's not so difficult to use, for instance, a fractional laser in a skin phototype that is a higher phototype. It's more difficult to use it when your patient has some bronzing, some effect of the sun exposure. So treating that with dressings decreases the sun-exposed area that you're going to treat. And if you still combine some of the topicals before, you can do pretty much a very reasonable, good job, even using the lasers that normally you wouldn't use.
So you mentioned that this algorithm has been published. Where can our listeners find it if they want to read more?
Well, it's actually, we made the joke, the letters ASAP, as soon as possible, but that's the name of our algorithm. So if you type ASAP on the internet and you write ASAP scar, you're going to be redirected to the website of our journal. It's called Surgical Dermatology, which is a Brazilian publication, and this has the whole algorithm published in English. If you want to see a little more on that, the JADV study called GRAM-seq, which is the group, the Brazilian group to study keloids and hypertrophic scars consensus, has this whole study published in JADV. We still have some publications in dermatologic surgery as well, and I would be more than glad to share those studies with any of the dermatologists that look for my, and I'm on the AAD directory, so it's very easy to find me.
Perfect. A lot of resources for our listeners. You mentioned a culture of sun exposure, and that is something that we maybe don't necessarily think about in our darkest skin types. Some patients do have inherently dark skin, but other patients have a lot of sun exposure and their skin may appear darker than at baseline. And sometimes it's hard to know exactly where a patient's baseline is. And I also am somewhat uncomfortable asking. Do you have any tips for how do you ask patients if they are tan or not without feeling like you're criticizing them for their sun?
Well, you know, one very simple trick that I can give here to the audience is that we have one of our friends who was actually going to speak in our session, Dr. Leal, has published a study that is very simple way to find out if the patient is prone to hyperpigmentation. And that's looking at his palms and soles. Have you seen that? So if they have those lines, the palm lines, hyperpigmented, they are actually going to be prone to hyperpigmentation, for instance, after a laser. But I usually go straight to the point and I ask them, okay, I can see you have been sun exposed a little bit, so let's talk about that. Can I see your belly? And the patient usually shows me his belly, and I say, well, I see a difference here between your facial skin tone and your belly skin tone that is not sun exposed as much. And I talk with them a little bit. I try to educate them. But when you cover that skin with the dressings, and we do it for at least 2 months before approaching those scars, that area is going to lose their bronzing and the sun exposed effect. So even to that point, this algorithm helps us a lot to treat the hyperpigmented skin.
You mentioned covering it with dressings for a couple of months or topicals. What specific dressings are you referring to?
So the first dressing that was published was the silicone dressing, right? And I can assure you that the silicone gel is not going to have the same effect. The silicone dressing is going to allow for a perfect hydration of the epidermis and will modulate the inflammatory response of the scar. Now, we've done this study that was actually commented by the New England a long time ago. It was my master's study that when we compared silicone to non-silicone dressings, and at that point, we found that Duoderm Extradean hydrocolloid dressing would have the same depth and the same width than the silicone dressing that we're using. So we compared those two dressings and we couldn't find any differences. So the tip is really to leave it covering the skin for at least a week. So we have a special way to do the dressing in our office. And lately, I've been using a lot of photobiomodulation during those dressing changes that also help the dressing to be kept on place and allow for also for a faster development or improvement or their hypertrophic scar. It's very interesting. After 1 or 2 months of covering the scar, you're going to see that the scar starts to shrink. Scar or keloid start to shrink, and it leaves you with some extra skin where you can inject antifibrotic drugs, and that small little, you know, extra skin on top of the scar will allow for, it's kind of a drug delivery system, because the steroid or the 5-FU or the bleomycin is going to be injected in that area and will diffuse easily throughout the scar that is a lot more softer than it used to be.
I think that's a very good point, especially the first time I attempt to inject a hypertrophic scar.
Exactly.
It's very, very difficult.
Yes.
But after it started to shrink a bit, whether it's from a previous injection or, as you mentioned, a dressing, much, much easier.
The patient also refers to us, well, have you already injected? Because I didn't feel pain like I used to feel in my previous dermatologist. So this is a really interesting method, and I am so thrilled to be able to share that method now in the American Academy. I've been a member since 1997, so for me it's really an achievement to be able to share this method here. Thank you so much.
We're very glad to have you. Let's talk a little bit about acne scars. So if a patient has some hypertrophic scars, we've talked about a few tips there. What about atrophic acne scars? How do you approach those in these darker skin types?
Absolutely, because we know that darker skin types tend to hyperpigment. So you may want to do some prep work before you start your facial treatment. That's one of the steps that we can utilize, is to get it ready, right? If you know that you want to use a energy-based device treatment option for the patient, of course you adjust the energy, a much lower setting, and you probably want to treat, instead of once or twice, you want to treat multiple times with lower energy to minimize the complications. And of course, if you pre-treat the patient with hydroquinone like 2 weeks before starting any sort of treatment, that will help you in a better situation to prevent hyperpigmentation. And of course, after the treatment, you may want to also start on hydroquinone. That will help as well.
So sunscreen, hydroquinone, both before and after.
Correct.
What types of devices are safe to use in this population?
In general, non-ablative lasers or radio frequency, like fractional radio frequency microneedling, I think those are the ones a little bit easier on the darker skin type. Also, microplasma, those are the ones that the newer devices, we're so fortunate to have so many newer technologies nowadays, they all can play a role in treating the darker skin type. But also, don't forget, we also have our traditional way of treating the atrophic acne scars. For example, don't forget we have subcision. That's so simple, and it's very easy and minimal risk of having hyperpigmentation. And also, another question is, a lot of times when we say, how do we treat ice pick scars in type 4-6? Can I actually use TCA to cross to treat those skin type? And the answer is yes. As long as you do your prep in advance and make sure you use the right concentration of the TCA, and I think you will be pretty successful in treating the ice pick scars, which is very difficult to treat in general.
You know that I usually tell my patients that come to treat acne scars, you know what, in 1 year, you will meet your best friend that you don't see for a long time, and he will tell you, your skin looks much better, but you still have some acne scars. So I think it's a combination of treatments. And we've been using in Brazil more and more what we call tonalization, which is the subcision using the cannula. So at the same time that you do some filler injections, you excise those fibrotic bands that are underneath in retracting your skin into atrophic acne scars, and you can inject either a filler or a polyalathic acid like Sculptra or, you know, any other biostimulator. So I think combining all of those treatments, and in Brazil we have now a very interesting microneedling thing that we are going to show in our session called MMP, which is the use of something old but, you know, renewed with this new. You use a tattoo machine and you just microneedle the skin. You can use both 5-FU, bleomycin, or you can use just saline solution, and it's gonna work a lot to decrease those lesions of acne scars with less risks than using maybe a device that will heat the skin, like a fractional laser. So lots of different options that we want to show in our session. So please, come to our session.
Just in compliment what Giselle just said, especially in darker skin type, nowadays the laser-assisted drug delivery is very popular. Mm-hmm. So when we're dealing with darker skin type, instead of using energy-based laser-assisted drug delivery, we may want to just use microneedling assisted drug delivery, because those are the ones will produce a minimal risk of hyperpigmentation, but at the same time you can add maybe PRP and other things to remodel and regenerate collagen. So those are all safe ways of treating darker skin type.
No, thank you. I think these are all really great tips. Just to sort of summarize for our listeners, you want to have a very thorough preoperative consultation where you talk about treatment options, you emphasize sun protection, you get started on whatever prep work is necessary before doing the treatment. If you are going to go with an energy-based modality, typically non-ablative devices are safer in dark skin types. We do have a lot of different options that can be used there, but you don't necessarily have to get the latest technology. Subcision is still very great. We definitely can use some of the same tricks that we have in lighter skin types too, such as filler injections, soft tissue augmentation with a biostimulatory agent. Before we go, do you have any final thoughts with which you'd like to leave our listeners?
I would like to deliver a final thought here. I think that this hydrocolloid dressing long-term occlusion of the scar has really changed my life, working with higher pigmented phototypes of patients. And I think everybody should get ready to start trying this, because it's simple, it's not expensive, it doesn't take a large investment in technologies, and it's going to help a lot.
Well, for me, the tricks, I think, is to do a real thorough evaluation and consultation, because especially treating acne scars, we know that sometimes patients can be a little bit impatient. They would want to have a miracle, that things aren't going to get better overnight. So it is really important to build trust, work as a team with the patient, and so that you can work towards the same goal patiently and take a lot of photos, show them the progress. I think that will also help with a successful treatment plan delivery for the patient, yeah.
Well, thank you both very much for your time. I certainly have learned a lot, and I know that our listeners will as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Key takeaways from today's episode include: 1, during initial evaluation, it is important to identify the types of scars the patient has, for example, specific types of acne scars, as well as their skin type, minimize risk for post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. 2, covering scars with silicone dressings for several weeks may help protect them from sun exposure, improve hydration, and modulate inflammation. It may also help soften the scar, making it easier to inject antifibrotic medications. 3, atrophic acne scars and darker skin types may be treated with non-ablative or radiofrequency lasers, subcision, TCA peels, microneedling-assisted drug delivery, or with a technique called tunnelization involving subcision using a cannula to simultaneously inject filler, such as polyl-lactic acid. 4, when treating acne scars, pre- and post-treatment with hydroquinone in combination with sun protection may help prevent hyperpigmentation.
Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Dialogues in Dermatology. We at Dialogues are thrilled to share some exciting news. All episodes, including weekly episodes and CME bonus episodes, are now offered as a member benefit. That means if you're a paid AAD member, this is all free. Just like before, content can be accessed through the AAD website or your favorite podcast app. Thanks again for listening.